listen to these words tonight. Here it is. A word was secretly brought to me. My ears caught a whisper of it. Amid disquieting dreams in the night, when deep sleep falls on men, fear and trembling seized me and made all my bones shake. A spirit glided past my face, and the hair on my body stood on end. Let me stop. Sleep paralysis? Is it just chemicals and chemical reactions in the brain? Is it just psychologically something that we need a pill to chill out? Job chapter 14, thousands of years ago. In the midst of his battle, in the midst of what was going on in his life, a spiritual war, no doubt about it, here's what he said. A word was secretly brought to me. My ears caught a whisper of it amid disquieting dreams in the night. When deep sleep falls on men, fear and trembling seized me and made all my bones shake. A spirit glided past my face, and the hair on my head, or the hair on my body, stood on end. It stopped, but I could not tell what it was. A form stood before my eyes, and I heard a hushed voice. Quote, "Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his Maker?" The voice goes on to say, if God places no trust in his servants, if he charges his angels with error, how much more those who live in houses of clay, whose foundations are in the dust, who are crushed more readily than a moth? Between dawn and dusk, they are broken to pieces. Unnoticed, they perish forever. Are not the cords of their tent pulled up, so that they die without wisdom? What a word. Who is this spirit? What is this presence? I've got to read it one more time. Amid disquieting dreams in the night. You know why I'm reading it? Had a dream the other night. In the midst of all that we do and all the things that are going on, I've got a dream, and I barely ever have a dream that is so vivid. I was at Malone College. I walked through graduating services there back in 84, I believe it was, a long time ago. But I was at Malone College in a restroom coming out, and there was a young man there. He looked European, blondish hair, cut crop short, big build and a backpack, and he was looking at me and wouldn't quit looking at me and staring at me. And finally he began to say, you know, some threatening things and getting closer and saying more and more and more how he was going to bring harm to me. Got right up to my face. Others been looking, and they got out of there. And so I'm standing there with this individual with real, raw, radical evil coming through his mouth. I don't remember his eyes. But I do remember that I prayed, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And I commanded the spirit and the presence and the power to be broken. And the man stepped back and staggered. I prayed again. He fell to the ground. Full-blown manifestation of demonic presence. Others came in, and it became a spectacle. But it was very vivid and very incredible that at this time, in the context of all that we're involved with, I mean, here we are out there looking at ritual sites in cemeteries and getting keys to go into mausoleums, dealing with the demonized and the chosen ones and doing evangelism and doing all the series we did last week, and thousands and more of you, dear friends, are downloading the materials, listening. More and more writing to her. I'm so far behind in trying to email back. It's one thing I have to pray over because I feel bad. But I remembered this tonight as I was thinking about the dream. about getting up again and again last night, again and again and again and again. About this day with something in the air, something, somebody. Somebody has been sending something. And I don't doubt that they listen, even now. So in verse 13, I read in Job, amid disquieting dreams in the night, when deep sleep falls on men, fear and trembling seized me and made all my bones shake. Now, I didn't have fear. I didn't have that happen. But in the midst of what Job was going through, that's what he experienced. Many of you do. I'm going to read you an email or part of one that was sent to me from a dear person out of California. It seems like there's a lot of stuff in Hollywood, in the movies, the Church of Satan, all kinds of stuff, Bohemian Grove. But now I was alerted to another place, a winery, Opus 1. Verse 15 says, a spirit glided past my face, and the hair on my body stood on end. It stopped, but I could not. Listen, I could not tell what it was. A form stood before my eyes, and I heard a hushed voice. Pretty interesting. You know, in the midst of all the other things that we've been working on lately, interesting email that I get in the mail. By the way, if you're new tonight, listening, this is Russ Dizdar. Shatterthedarkness.net. Maybe somebody told you to tune in. We're glad they did and want to welcome all the live listeners, internet-wise and satellite. Satellite. Hey, send me an email if you're listening by satellite. I'd like to hear from you. You can find the contact information on the website, shatterthedarkness.net. It's on the right-hand side. Scroll down a little bit. This is the week we're doing a series. Now listen, this is called, don't lose it here, Presuppositional Analysis. The Supernatural, Paranormal, Radical Evil, and the End of Days at the Movies. So Hollywood should be alerted, and obviously deep connection of Satanism, the dark side, questionable. Listen, I mean, the kind of supernaturalism that leaves you like this, what Job experienced. He says in verse 16, I could not tell what it was. A form stood before my eyes. I have a feeling that on, at Shasta, all down through Southern California, Hollywood, I've been there a number of times. And some of the extremely wealthy places, too. Listen, don't think of Satanism being just backwoods, a bunch of crazies running around naked, having orgies. You're talking about massive sophistication, elitists. I mean, think about Bohemian Grove, but also now we got to think about some other places. I've said this again and again. Bohemian Grove is one of many high places in Europe. Check out Black Forest. Check out Palatine, Italy. Check out your areas. They are, can I say it this way? They are findable. Here comes the email. Dear Russ, quote, I have been a listener for almost 2 years. I heard you on Future Quake, and your ministry really got my attention. They talk about their parents being missionaries. And then this is what they say, quote, there are many things I saw as a child, including demonization. Maybe that's what started it from a young age. I've never been able to watch frightening movies. I already had to deal with bad nightmares, and that just made it worse. I was raised in a Christian home till my parents split, and they go on to talk about some of that. They talk about having all kinds of visitations. Not sure what was happening. Kind of like that what I just read in Job. I go on, quote, listening to your show has allowed me to look back at my life to see that these visits came from my allowing them to come in. I shared this info with my husband when we first married. I would tell him to wake me if he heard me struggling in my sleep. I did have one weird visit while on vacation in England. We had been traveling at an early morning hour from the airport, and I kept telling my husband to pull over to a rest stop as I was afraid he would have an accident. He was able to find a room available for the family at a motel of some sort. At that point, I didn't care. I was so exhausted. As we entered the room, I smelled a horrible stench, but it was only the only room available, so we all slept there. My family fell asleep before I did. Just as I dozed off, I saw the figure or shadowing of a cat on my chest. It was heavy, and when I prayed, it would leave, but it came back again. Over the next few hours, I kept praying. I would have liked to have slept, but it was making it very difficult. I was exhausted the next day, but I assume something happened in that room for me to have felt that there. I cannot tell you the number of times of the encounters I've had through some, well, through some or more unpleasant than others. I never understood why I had them and not other people. Let me just stop there to say this. You're one of millions. Oh, other people, and again, many have not shared their story. This brave emailer, and the name is here, and of course, we're not going to mention names. We have an alert line. You can call in and leave stories. You can call in and whistleblow. You can call in and leave other materials. We're not going to share your name. I go on in the email to quote these words. Quote, my mom would have attacks as well, so we spoke about them. Sounds generational. They would share with friends and coworkers that would freak them out. I just learned not to speak of them very much. That's how it happens with many. Many of you that are listening right now, you can identify with this story very well. It doesn't matter whether you're later on listening to this in Russia or Europe or Germany or wherever else it may be, down in Mexico, you know that it happens. Just the way it did in Job's life. A presence, a spirit, a form. Don't know what it is. But it spoke. This emailer goes on to say, quote, and you're right about how they differ from visits from God. Those you don't forget either, but the difference is you want to stay and feel that power of God forever. It's beautiful. The writer goes on to say, I'm very familiar with Bohemian Grove. My husband and I would take many trips to Napa where he was a wine buyer for a restaurant. They go on to say these words, I was given a private tour many years ago of a winery with a handful of other people. This was not open to the public, but by appointment only. The winery was called Opus One. It was very weird-looking structure from the outside. Now, I've done a search today and saw a lot of the structure, and you're right. Going on to quote, but when you went in, it was even stranger. I remember weird objects hanging on the walls, but it was the goat's head that I found so ugly to look at. This room felt stark and cold. We were able to taste some wine in an area that was underground, where barrels were being stored. It was shaped like a pentagram. They go on to say, just want to thank you for sharing and showing that we have so much power in Christ. You asked, they say here, about where your listeners are coming from. I am from Southern California. And I'm going to say, and I already sent an email back, of just simply thank you. because that's brave, and it will help others tell their story. An article was sent, and I also found this online as I was doing some research today. Greg Shazmansky, Arctic Beacon, an article, a journalist writes, quote, an Illuminati holiday story worth mentioning involves Opus One Winery in Napa Valley, a place where some of the diabolical gang of madmen trying to take over the world are spending the Easter weekend. Opus One fronts as a vineyard, but actually is a satanic devil-worshipping hideaway similar to Bohemian Grove, located just to the east and the north of San Francisco. According to the inquisitive California researcher, the land for Opus One, meaning first work, was secretly purchased in the late 60s. Isn't that about the time that the Satanic Bible was written? Isn't the 60s the time occult historian James Webb said the second largest proliferation of occultic literature in history was released in the United States? 60s. Goes on to say, I quote, its construction shrouded in secrecy. The secret satanic winery, according to the Wine Tasters, is known for its light but refreshing Chardonnay, but its its speciality is said to be a very dry and heavy blood red. Strangely, the Napa Valley Register, which reports all building activity, remained extremely quiet about what was being built. From the air, the construction forms a Masonic square and compass. The researcher in a 2003 flyover of the Illuminati compound, built by Baron Rothschild. Isn't that amazing? Rothschilds. Down a little further, the entire project of buying the land, building Opus One, and operating has been shrouded in secrecy. The wineries in California, when they open traditionally and normally are open to the public, the opening ceremonies of Opus One were shrouded in secrecy. Now they, the article writer here, calls it not just a winery, but a temple. The iron gates are always closed. The inquisitive researcher, who later has a secret spy take a tour of the compound, said the inner theme of the numbers 3 and 6 runs throughout large Opus 1 pyramid building, as well as the number 666. He added that little circles frequently appear throughout the compound, having Illuminati significance. Talks about the devilish decor. And the article goes on and on, and anybody can research the article and read concerning the massive draconian oak doors are built facing the hail that leads to the room where wine is tasted. Mirrors abound in the place. The guided artwork on the mirrors, well, it's pretty amazing. Places like this that we've engaged, all I can say is look for the second basement, the sub-basement. The basement below the basement. The circular. If you're joining us tonight, it is October the 26th. It's a Tuesday night. It's been a very weird day for me already. We're doing a series, Presuppositional Analysis, that is really about becoming a spiritual analyst, analyzing the belief systems, even of a winery. How about movies? What about individual politics? Listen, Francis Schaeffer did us a great, great thing for us back in the 70s in the writing of his books, Cornelius Van Til being one of his teachers, about how to do presuppositional analysis. In other words, analyzing the absolute foundational beliefs, the things that a newspaper journalist or a book author or a movie producer actually believes, what a politician actually believes, how to read movies, how to literally read the newspapers. I mean, read beyond just the stuff and analyze what a person really believes, what their bias is, where they're coming from. And I was going to give you last night, we ran literally out of time, five of the principles. They'll be up tomorrow. 5 points, 1 hour long training or teaching MP3 broadcast. How to be a spiritual analyst. Going to give you the alert real quick. It's October the 26th. Since the 13th and all during the month, abductions, the holding of children, and others, you could take a look at the satanic calendar. You could take a look at how deep and broad and wide the whole, quote, Halloween holiday is becoming. It's funny that nobody really, politicians and others don't oust the Halloween stuff. But put up a nativity? Wow. Watch some people have a conniption. A hissy fit, as my dad used to say. Presuppositional analysis. Listen, analyzing the belief structures. But listen, you've got to do this with a grid. All of us have a grid. A grid for me, and I'm going to give you the 5 points. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prophetic revelation. Look where most won't, and then five, outrage. I'll go over them slower. I just want you to have the alert, though. I just want you to have the alert that in the next couple of days, rituals will be... Listen, all over... Listen, in Russia, yes. All over Europe, yes. And I'm going to mention to everyone listening that really wants to find them, really wants to, you know, those who have gotten into Bohemian Grove, there are whistleblowers. There are people that are fearing to get out. There are elitists that would, and I believe should, risk it all and tell. I really do. I believe there should be whistleblowers everywhere. I think that's what Ephesians chapter 5 is all about. I think that's what Ezekiel chapter 8, as God leads Ezekiel to see it all. There are those of you that will be brave enough, strong enough, spiritually mature enough for God to show what is really going on in your backyard. California, Hollywood, and the wineries. Napa Valley, really? Wow. I put up on the website a book that I think is very, very, very basic. And it will help you in presuppositional analysis. It will help you in spiritually analyzing the paranormal, the supernatural, the movies that are out there, the things that are going on, the ghost hunters, the psychics, the remote viewers, all the rest. I really like towards the end of the book when it brings in Whitney Strieber. And as he discusses his engagement with, well, what are their alien entities, he questions whether they, you know, what they really are as far as being evil and demonic and dark. And he literally fears. In the book, The Dark Side of the Supernatural, and I put it on the website. I'll leave it there today and tomorrow. Actually, I found out you can get it for about 1 cent. One penny plus a used one. That's what I usually do, buy used ones. Got to get books all the time, and man, the cost's incredible. I know even mine, but for a penny plus shipping, The Dark Side of the Supernatural, I'm going to recommend, in the context of the supernaturalism, paranormal, and the rise of the most spiritually engaging time in human history. And we've seen nothing yet, literally, nothing yet. It's not that it hasn't been around. It's just going to be, in a global sense, more manifest, more engaging, to where millions to the point of billions will experience, and it will become more demonstrative. So as you're listening tonight, I have no question that there are those that have had the experiences, those that are on the dark side, those that are conjuring the spirits. There's some of you right now, I mean a few, you really don't like what we do. We had this happen the other day. Dealing with another chosen one a week or so ago, one personality just kind of voiced over the main person to bring a verbal attack. See, they've been in there all the time watching, listening. They know. They know who they serve. They know what they're all about. And that's where some of the subs that are listening You understand. But you have not been engaging. You listen, if all you do, if all you've been is raised in the darkness, and you've operated in the darkness, and the darkness is what you're used to, the darkness is where you hide. Well, listen, that's all you know. That's why when a crack in your dark spiritual armor occurs and the light begins to shine in, the brilliance of that light of God does seem to invade, annoy. Well, listen, if you got dark spirits on you, it is the presence of God, the Word of God. Anyone who's really a person of God with the indwelling Spirit of the Lord, that they will know and want you to avoid. Have no question about that. In this Tuesday evening, we're going to deal this with this issue of analyzing the supernatural in the movies. We'll mention Amityville, Poltergeist, Legion, Prophecy, Exorcist, Case 39, Devil, all the way down, some of the other things. But before we do, the idea of analyzing, I'm going to give you just the overview, and then you can get the one-hour teaching tomorrow sometime. Spiritual analyst, that's really what an Old Testament watcher was in a lot of ways. Some of the prophets, and I believe literally New Testament teaching. If you read Ephesians 5, you got to be a spiritual analyst. You got to know the difference between light and darkness, the realities of source behind spiritual experience, spiritual encounter, spiritual doctrine, spiritual enhancement. See, you can be spiritually enhanced, receive spiritual doctrine, spiritual communication, spiritual engagement, spiritual power from one side or the other. Well, one side's very clear. In all that it reveals, it's made known. But the other side, there's always the mask, what it really is. This is why when I read Job, when Job says in chapter 4, "Fear and trembling seized me and made all my bones shake. A spirit glided past my face, and the hair on my body stood on end." It stopped. "But I could not tell what it was. A form stood before my eyes, and I heard a hushed voice." And really, there was no really good word coming from the Spirit. There really was nothing that, it was really pretty, I mean, see, it's the dark side usually that brings that kind of fear, trembling, confusion. Job didn't know what this was, who was speaking. God's not the author of confusion. More on that later. Here's the 5 points. Spiritual analyst. Let me say welcome to all the believers listening live, internet-wise, satellite-wise, and to the, well, ultimately, hundreds of thousands over the next 2 months that will download. Let me say this. If you're a believer in Christ, what I'm about to share, I believe, is part of normal, growing discipleship. That real believers in normal growing in Christ, normal development in Christ, will become very deeply spiritual and powerful and able and discerning and fruitful. That is what God has intended in the gift of salvation. You don't just get saved and sit, saved and stagnant, saved and still. You grow up in your salvation. You grow up in this walk of relationship with God and all that it's about. And if you grow normally, it includes power in prayer, relationship with God, His presence in worship, spiritual gifting, Holy Spirit power and perception and leading and guiding. All you got to do is read the book of Acts. You're going to see believers, disciples, first generation, second generation believers. Well, listen, supernaturalism was all around them, and they constantly experienced the hand of God in the operating presence of the Holy Spirit and the unceasing presence of Christ. Sometimes very demonstratively, very manifest. So let's go over the five. If you're going to be a spiritual analyst looking at today and all that's going on, let me say this. You've got to be doing it by the Spirit of God. Uncreated, eternal, Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is said to be given. By the way, on the website, shatterthedarkness.net, left-hand side, scroll a little bit, you'll see a picture of a flame. A representation has always been, like on the day of Pentecost, flames, little tongues of fire. You'll see where it says God the Holy Spirit. You click on that, guess what? It is a, it used to be one of the courses we did, but it's got like 20, I think about 25 hours and some outline notes. It's all absolutely free, 1 hour each. The Holy Spirit, the personality of the Holy Spirit, the deity of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit in Christ, Holy Spirit before salvation, Holy Spirit at salvation, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God's ministry in the believer, Spirit in the Word, Spirit in prayer, Spirit in spiritual warfare, Spirit, Holy Spirit in spiritual gifts, on and on and on and on. And that's only part of the overwhelming teaching of the work of the Holy Spirit. You can read from John's Gospel 12 all the way to 17. Holy Spirit of God, Comforter, Counselor, Teacher, Guide. You can read in 1 John 4, Greater, Megdala. Greater is God the Holy Spirit in the believer than anything spiritually in the world around us. The gift of God, the Holy Spirit, comes at the moment of salvation. When the Spirit of God comes in, you are born again, made instantly alive and in relationship to God. So whether Russian, whether Chinese, whether German, whether Swahili, whether Canadian, doesn't make any difference. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord. This is what Jesus talked about in John 7. John's Gospel 7. If you're a seeker, if you're a quester, at least look at it. When Jesus stands up in a really religious spiritual festival that was not leading them to God, Jesus himself stood up and told them that, listen, I tell you the truth, anyone that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their inmost being. Well, there's going to be flowing the power, the presence, the work of the Holy Spirit of God. There's going to be teaching. There's going to be guidance. There's going to be illumination. There's going to be opening you from the inside out. The book of Ephesians chapters 1 and 2, massively revealing of the work of the Spirit of God, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened by the Spirit of God to know the depths of Christ, the depths of your inheritance in Christ, the depths of the incomparably great power for us who believe. Holy Spirit perception. You now as a believer, lit up by the Spirit of God to know God, to walk with God, to learn of God, to grow. Every scripture verse, the language of the Spirit of God, he's in it, using it. You want to really, really know the work of the Spirit of God, listen, we'll talk about getting in, but number one, I'm simply saying that God the Holy Spirit. Now listen, there are those who will have spirit enhancement, not from God. The eyes of their heart, the idea of a third eye, there's all kinds of spiritual stuff that can work and operate in a human being from the other side. But we're talking now, if you're going to be really a spiritual analyst in these days, I'm going to say, number one, you got to have an experiential knowing of God the Holy Spirit in your life, in your relationship with Christ. Jesus said he's going to give you a counselor, a comforter, a parakletos, another of the same kind when he leaves, that the Spirit of God would come, that the inseparable unity between God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the living Christ would be in you by the Spirit of God. And your inner capacities would be lit up by the Spirit of God. And he is here to show us, to teach us, to burden us, to move us, to guide us, to empower us. There's no greater power. There's no greater guide. There's no greater teacher than God the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve him through sin. Don't quench him from refusing to be his servant. A servant of Christ. But instead, Psalm 81:10, open wide to the living Christ, your Savior, and allow the Holy Spirit, you know, seek the fullness and the fire and the presence and the and know the Holy Spirit in worship and in prayer and in witness and in discernment. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts of discernment, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, all the giftings are needed and the giftings operative by, given by and operative by the Holy Spirit in your life. If there's ever a time we need all the work of the Spirit of God experienced in our lives and to know all and any and all gifting that he has given us, it's really now in this ramping up, in this day. And I believe the Spirit of God will, as you're deeply aware of the of your Savior Christ and of your walk and of the prophetic time clock we are in and of the culture and what it's going through, you know there, and I'm going to tell you, there's urgency. I mean, even the Spirit of God gave this idea of urgency back, well, Timothy chapter 2, when he says to the body of Christ, pastors, leaders, first of all, and with urgency, prayer, intercession, specific prayers, all of that intercession and prayer and so forth is to be unleashed for the culture, for those in authority, and this is good and pleases God our Savior. So the great place of power, the great doorway to power and God's operative work is prayer. And you can't know the depth of His presence, the depth of the operating presence of the Holy Spirit without spending time in prayer. Number one, to be a spiritual analyst from the inside out, the indwelling, a temple of the Spirit of God, the indwelling, Holy Spirit presence, Holy Spirit power, Holy Spirit perception. Number two, and inseparable, and the Spirit of God will teach you this, the Word of God, the Word of God. Now listen, all you got to do one time is read through Psalm 119. The Word of God is a light. The Word of God revives the soul. The Word of God gives you more information than all the counselors in the world. The Word of God does so many things, brings such effect. It is called the Word of life, the Word of grace, the Word of faith. They're alive. It's the logos of power and life. There's literally the presence of God in the words, and the Spirit of God who authored them uses them. And so we're told to let the word of Christ richly, I mean, just dwell in us richly, Colossians 3. We should know it. Listen, it opens your perceptions. Matter of fact, Hebrews, you read about it. You can read about it. Read through the first four or five chapters. How constant use of the Word of God will enable you to do what? To discern good from evil. The Spirit of God will use the Word. Matter of fact, Ephesians 6, in the context of spiritual warfare, the armor of God, what we need to have on. Well, the Word of God is listed. It is called the sword of the Spirit. It is what the Holy Spirit of God will use in your life as an offensive weapon, countering the arrows, the lies, the work of the enemy so that you can stand. That's what Jesus did, quoted the Word of God, the written grapha, the written Word of God, when he, Christ himself, engaged Satan face to face, Matthew chapter 4. That's what he did. He stood his ground on the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, after 36 years of being a believer, being a pastor all these years, you cannot stand without knowing the Word of God well. You cannot know what time it is. You cannot understand the urgency. You cannot know and be moved. You cannot be built up. You cannot have your faith strengthened without the Word of God. It's considered spiritual food for your soul, your life, your very being as a believer in Christ. You got to have the Word of God. You got to be memorizing it. You got to know it. See, the Holy Spirit will remind you of the Word, well, that which you know of the Word. He'll remind you in the need when you're counseling, when you're witnessing, when you're sharing, when you're going through crisis, when you're going through spiritual warfare, when you're seeking the Lord. The Holy Spirit can bring to you the appropriate verse, the appropriate word, the specifics. Oh, get into it. Just delve deeply into the Word of God. In the Bible, the only book whose author is inseparably and always present in and on and using it. In his presence, read it, study it. Listen, it'll be an interaction as you're reading and studying and God speaking and so forth. Listen, if you're not a believer in Christ, I suggest going to the Gospel of Mark, going to the Gospel of John. If you want God to begin to reveal and speak and show you, if you open your heart to it. Now, if you find resistance, you're going to know why. I know all the deeper underground Satanists, they're not even allowed to read it. If you got demons inside, well, listen, there's no question. They'll keep you from it, or at the very least, seek to twist it as Satan did Matthew chapter 4 when quoting it to Jesus. Do you know the difference? Do you know it well? Is the word familiar? Have you ever read in Job 4 where it talks about that spirit, that what many people today call sleep paralysis? Take a look at Job 4. Take a look at verse 12 on down. He begins it by saying, "A word was secretly brought to me. My ears caught a whisper of it amid disquieting dreams in the night when deep sleep falls on men. Fear and trembling seized me and made all my bones shake. A spirit glided past my face and the hair on my body stood on end. It stopped, but I could not tell what it was. A form stood before my eyes and I heard a hushed voice." Boy, he quotes all that it said. All that it said. You know, being a spiritual analyst, the Spirit of God inside of you will give you the check, give you the discernment, give you the, listen, there is no greater presence you could possibly have than God the Holy Spirit. Do you know Him well? Are you familiar with His presence? Do you honor His presence inside of you? Know ye not, the Scripture says, that you are a temple of the Spirit of God. The Word of God, number two, knowing it well gives you, it empowers you, it enables you to bear fruit, it enables you to know, it gives you discernment. It just absolutely, listen, read Psalm 119 and you'll see the depth of what the Word of God can do in your life. Number three, prophetic revelation. Specifically in the Word of God and specifically in the New Testament, but this includes Daniel, Ezekiel, and so forth. But there's prophetic. What does the Spirit of God say about the future? What does the Spirit of God say? Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. In all the prophecies that are left to be fulfilled, the three angles to it. God shows what He is going to do. God shows what Satan is going to do, and nobody else does this but God. And God shows the interaction and reactions and the ultimate end. God alone shows the end of the human race, the catastrophe, the Antichrist, the abyss, Armageddon, the binding of Satan 1,000 years, the millennium to come, the great white throne judgment in the eternal kingdom. God alone shows about a face-to-face seeing of God in glorified, indestructible, immortal bodies. Only God shows that. And it's all in prophetic revelation. And that prophetic revelation shows all that God has in store for us and what He's going to do. But as I said, it shows what the dark side is doing, what the enemy is going to do, the masquerade, the seduction, the deception, the unprecedented, the pinnacle of that presence and power, the bulging of the seams, the chaos caused by them, the secret power of lawlessness. Well, that's why maybe Opus 1, California Napa, has been built, shrouded in secrecy and has secret meetings and specific design. And if it's all true about the design, there is no question that rituals are done there just like Bohemian Grove. Californians, who else been to Napa? Anybody worked at Opus 1? Anybody want to call the Shatter the Darkness alert line? Anybody want to send an email to give us more insight? Is there a double basement? Is there a secret place? Are there going to be rituals behind the iron barred gates of Opus 1 there in Napa Valley? What about other places? Could it be that there are those who used to go to, maybe elitists, Bohemian Grove? Maybe later on, there's Italians that are downloading and listening concerning the infiltration of the Vatican. Palantine. The Black Forest in Germany. How about, well, anywhere and all over the world. In supernaturally shrouded secrecy. There's no question the blood will flow, the rituals will be done, the demons will be summoned. More presence will be unleashed. And what's to come? Well, listen, that's what the prophetic word of God gives insight to. Counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. Every sort of evil that's deceiving those who are perishing. So what's your experience? Are you a spiritual? Listen, if you're a believer, now listen, you could be asleep as a believer. The word of God says, wake up, O sleeper. You could be backslidden, you could be a carnal Christian, you could be Laodicean, you could be Sardis, once alive but now dead. Why? Why would you let bitterness, why would you let certain experiences, why would you let certain bad things occur? Why would you let some hypocrite and what they have done stop you from the most powerful, glorious, awesome relationship you could ever have in Christ? You do realize Jesus has never shown hypocrisy, never is the one who authored your engagement with bitterness and being angry. I don't care if people reject, as long as I'm walking with Christ. If they act like nuts and hypocrites, that's on them. I don't have to let their lives stop me from all that God wants me to be. I yearn to be all that God wants me to be. I'm just a man that loves Jesus, that knows Jesus. The simplicity, God loves me, God knows me, God cares about me more than anyone. He gave his life for me, and so I give my life back, and I hope to learn more, I hope to grow more, and I have no bones about saying to you remote viewers and others that I would love to lead you to Christ, to know the God of heaven, to know God's power and presence. Get out of the masquerade. Get out of the counterfeit alternative spirituality that never leads you to God, but only takes you further and further into the deep, away from God. So tonight, as we engage some of the things, being a spiritual analyst, number one, Holy Spirit, number two, Word of God, number three, the prophetic, a real deep study of what the Holy Spirit says the enemy's doing so that you can know and look around and say, wow, this is what the Spirit of God has revealed is going to happen. This is what's happening, a secret power of lawlessness, counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, spirits that are here indwelling people to write doctrines of demons and operate in their lives and do things. Wow, look at Babylon rise. Look at the coming Antichrist. Look at the underground. Look what God has revealed. Number four, in order to be a real spiritual analyst at the cutting edge, and I believe all the great spirit-filled soul winners of the book of Acts were. Number four, now listen, you're willing to look where most will not. You're willing to look, well, listen, some people hear about evil and turn their heads. Some people hear a scream in the night and they lock their door. Some hear about abortion and click the remote to go to another channel. I believe there's a lot of us as believers who at times are nothing but spiritual dimwits, careless. I don't want to know about evil. I don't want to hear about evil. See, there's a lot of believers mistakenly think that if they learn about some of this stuff that's going on out there, well, that's evil. We don't want to look at that. We don't want to hear about that. How in the world are you going to expose the deeds, evil deeds of darkness, Ephesians 5, if you don't even know they're going on? It's not about, never do we join with it. Never do we compromise and engage, and you don't have to participate. But to close your eyes? To close your eyes and sit back and say, la, 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 I hope it doesn't come near around me. Listen, it's all around. Your sons and daughters are being sucked in. America's being sucked in. Don't you care about your nation? Don't you care about the others? Don't you care about those seduced? Don't you care about this prophetic revelation that tells us that the most supernatural deception in human history is all upon us. The words of Jesus, times are coming that humanity will go through the most catastrophic events that involve the death of billions. Aren't you going to warn somebody? Aren't you going to witness? If heaven is real and hell is real, Christ and the cross real, salvation real, aren't you going to witness? How can we live in an age, again, where most don't want to look? They don't want to look and see that 4.5 million, maybe 10 million satanic ritually abused in America, not including the numbers in Canada, Australia, in Germany, in Europe, and even those of you in Russia know of this. Those of you in the Scandinavian countries know of this. Oh, yes, it's gone on all over around us. Some of you know of 8, 9, and 10-year-olds. Where do they get those sub-personalities? How do they learn those twilight languages? Where do they get those spirits? Are you willing to look? Let me just give you Ezekiel chapter 8. Just take a read of it. Let God speak to you. Let God speak to you about Ezekiel chapter 8. Maybe you can go visit Opus 1 as a spiritual analyst, filled, guided, led by the Spirit of God, the Word of God pumping through you, the prophetic revelation of the Word of God clearly giving you the ability to see. Will you look where most won't? There's a study of 14 hours we've got up called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, how to detect a lot of the stuff. It's all about ultimately redemption, but also exposure, and also using your authority in prayer against this rise of radical evil. So number four, in order to be a real spiritual analyst like great watchers of the past and witnesses of the book of Acts, you gotta be able to go where most won't. Philip, Acts chapter 8, he went into the city that was the most demonized, where a high priest with great dark power and holding sway over the high and the low, just like probably Napa Valley, holding sway over the high. What about Hollywood? What about in some of those movie producers' mansions? What about Eyes Wide Shut? Point number five, listen now. Outrage. Will there be anyone that will remain outraged with hell's encroachment into the culture, into the politics, the rise of Luciferic globalism? I'm not here for entertainment. I'm not here for entertainment. This isn't about entertainment. This is about letting the outrage of what is going on, the urgency the Spirit of God, the Word of God speaks about. I mean, did you realize that even Satan knows the time is short, that he is in a urgent, furious work? He's doing his work. Why aren't we doing ours? Revelation 12 tells you that. That's the Word of God that shows you what's behind the scenes, the operating presence that tried to kill Christ, go after Israel, annihilate it, and eventually go after the body of Christ and seek to annihilate it. Now, he's going to fail in all three cases, though he does harm. But he knows his time is short, and he's furious. You ever hear the spirits and the demons speak? Even in that stupid dream I had the other night, the demonic presence in that blonde-headed boy at Malone College, the demons were very, very angry. They always are. Unless, of course, you cater to them. Oh, they'll be anything you want. They'll be Uncle Joe. They'll be dead Aunt Mary. They'll be a spirit guide. They'll be an animal spirit. They'll be an alien. They'll be an ascended master. They'll be a wise old teacher. They'll be anything you want as long as you let that happen and keep away from God, keep away from Christ. Lose your soul and go to hell in the midst of it all. They'll dance and revel over that. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Lord rebuke them. May the Spirit of God fall on all of those who are believers listening even now. May there be the desire to be so clothed, filled, experienced in the Holy Spirit, so filled with the Word of God and obedience to it, so knowledgeable about the prophetic revelation that you can see what's happening. Willingness to go where no one and or where most won't go. Acts chapter 8 will tell you Philip went somewhere. Most won't go there. Ezekiel, led by God, he was willing. He went in right into the very center of a satanic ritual site. Number 5, outrage. Outrage about what it's going on. It burns my britches to see so many people spiritually deceived. So many at first mad when we try to tell them, hey, the spiritual presence on your life, it's not from God. You say an angel visited you and led you to talk to your aunt, dead Aunt Mary, and showed you things and gave you empowerments, and that wasn't from God. Wasn't from God at all. As a matter of fact, do you know God? The psychic says no. The reader of the dead says no. Do you have the Holy Spirit? No. Do you know Jesus of Nazareth and the power and the grace and the might and the love that he demonstrated at the cross and that he wants to bring into your life? No. Why? Because I've got Aunt Mary, you know, talking to me in the midst of a seance, and I'm a reader of the dead. I'm not going to say hallelujah to that. You want to be an analyst? I'm speaking to believers, and I know the Spirit of God is speaking. Number 1, Holy Spirit. Number 2, Word of God. Number 3, prophetic revelation. Number 4, will you go where no one else usually will? Highways and byways is what Jesus commanded. Number 5, outrage. 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 Now, there's a time to rest. Jesus said, come apart and rest. There's a time for that. But what about outrage? Let me mention in the midst of this and why I wanted to do Tuesday night in our presuppositional analysis of radical evil in the midst of movies. I mean, listen, think in terms of Poltergeist. Was the supernaturalism of that, well, partially real, but really glorifying that other side, the battle they fight? How do you win? How do they win? Is it using salt, you know, crying? I mean, you see the movie Legion. And this whole spiritual warfare thing, it's not biblical. You look at the movies Prophecy 1, 2, and 3. Is that true? A new war broke out? And now Gabriel's also fighting and angels are killing each other and pulling out the heart? No, that's not true. What about The Exorcist? Do your head really spin? Do you spit out green stuff? Well, I've seen some pretty heavy stuff, and I've seen the demonized throw up. I've seen a lot of supernatural things in the midst of it all, but listen, Hollywood adds to it. Hollywood kind of glorifies the dark side and its power and demonstrates a supernaturalism that, well, almost nobody can. I mean, when are they going to kill Freddy? When are they going to kill Chucky? When are we going to get rid of these things? Listen, we're at the end of the hour. Let me encourage you. Study the book of Acts and see the kind of supernaturalism that's really needed. Pray that you know Christ. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Hey, remember us in prayer. Remember us in support. God bless you and good night.